The Church Media Podcast, episode number 82, Building the Creative Church, Part 1, with Matt Light and Chris Chiputi. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media productions in the church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world. Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now. At 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to the Church Media Podcast. I'm Carl Barnhill. Thank you so much for listening. This week on the show, I welcome two friends of mine, Matt Light and Chris Chiputi, which you'll hear me butcher Chris's last name a little bit later in the show. These guys own and operate the Creative Church Company, a ministry that's dedicated to helping churches with custom graphic design, media content, and more. In fact, I'm a member of their creative team. We've worked on some projects together. It's a lot of fun working with these guys. We have a great interview with these guys coming right up, and I want to warn you a little bit that the audio for this interview is a little bit rougher as these are long-distance phone calls with these guys. They're all across the country, and so we've come together for this call. So just bear with us on the audio quality for this interview this week. But all that's coming right up. But first, this week's Church Media Resource of the Week after this amazing audio transition.
And now, your Church Media Resource of the Week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Hey guys, Jonathan Malm here from ChurchStageDesignIdeas.com. Today I wanted to share with you a new resource that's available for church creatives. It's called SundaySocial.tv. Basically, Sunday Social creates new social media graphics every day of the week for your church to post on your social media streams. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. These graphics are filled with quotes, encouraging thoughts, questions, basically things that are gonna up the engagement that your church experiences on social media. You'll get more likes, more comments, more shares, more retweets, all that good stuff. It's $7 a month. It gets you unlimited downloads each month, and there are new graphics at least every day. It's a great resource. I highly recommend you check it out. Sign up, it's worth it.
For more free resources for your team, visit 1230media.com/training. This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
Hey guys, I welcome on the line two friends of mine, Matt Light and Chris Chiputi from the Creative Church Company. These guys help churches by providing a full-scale creative team at their disposal. They provide design, production, social media work, and tons of help for churches of all sizes. It's all at creativechurch.co. The guys join me on the phone right now. Chris, did I destroy your last name or did I do okay?
You did okay, but it's Chiputi.
Ah, denied.
It's all right. It's all right. Oh. Hey, it's all right. 35 years of life. You're not the first one to mispronounce it in any way. So.
Well, I'll confess my sins right now, man. I'm sorry for that.
We're good, man. We're good.
Well, I hope you guys are well. Thanks for hanging out tonight.
Yeah, man.
No. Thank you.
Talk with you, Carl.
All right, so let's get started talking about the Creative Church Company. I'd love for people to know how that got started, how the two of you came together, and all the features and resources that you guys provide over there.
Yeah, for sure, man. So Chris and I actually met four years ago now, or 5 years ago, almost five. Mm-hmm. We met actually in a terminal at DFW Airport while we were both heading back to where we lived at the time in Colorado Springs. And so it's funny that we met in an airport. And it's funny how it all worked out. We just left the conference. And so, hey, once we found out we were in the same city, it's it just started from there. Kind of, we'd get coffee every now and then and talk life and ministry and ideas. And when I got laid off from the job I was there for, it started a whole new other conversation between Chris and I. And one of our old conversations that had kind of been going on was, man, how most crazy ideas started, how cool would it be if, you know, is one of those conversations. And ours was, how cool would it be if a church can get the creative staff they need without having to pay for it, you know, without them having to actually hire somebody and, you know, those types of things. And from there, it just kind of snowballed. And within a couple months, we made this thing live, and we totally did it the wrong way. And it was super confusing, and it's called My Squared Creative, and we're trying to talk to the business marketplace as well as the church world, and we end up just confusing everybody. And but we still had some really great opportunities in that first little bit. And about a year and a half in, we actually shut down for about 3 months. Just completely shut down everything, like release clients and like everything. Like we completely stopped everything. And for 3 months, we just kind of evaluated, you know, like, what do we want to do? How do we want to do it? Do we even want to do this? And it was in that time of just kind of waiting and praying and listening to the Lord that we both separately got the same message from the Lord of just keep going, keep going, keep going. And so for us, that was good enough confirmation just to say, okay, let's do this. And out of the conversations that followed that came Crib Church Staffing, which eventually led to us kind of rebranding and reshifting the company as the Creative Church Company, and just going all in to, you know, marketing exclusively to churches and creating everything we do specifically around serving the needs of the church. And if we happen to work with clients in the secular marketplace, then it's just going to come out of the relationships that we have. But we're setting up everything we do and how we do it specifically for the needs of the church. And so that's pretty much kind of how we've gotten to where we are now with all these different other ideas kind of that have kind of popped up from those how cool would it be if conversations. And so now we're here.
Well, Chris, tell me about what you guys provide to churches. If a church comes to you for help, what do you offer them?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And I love hearing Matt's story of just retelling our story. And there's just something about it. God's fingerprints were all over it, and they continue to be all over it. So it's always good for me. Obviously, we don't obviously tell our story to each other very often, but hearing it out loud, it sounds really good and just really refreshing. But you know, like Matt said, you know, we've been doing this for a while. We did a lot of things the wrong way, but over time we've evolved and we listened to the churches that we've worked with and kind of restructured a lot of our approach. And we kind of honed in on three different approaches to what we offer, and that's strategy, design, and support. And again, over the years, we've kind of evolved them to. Just based on what we've heard, just different specific niches that we can serve. So we originally started as a design. Like, how can we provide the most quality design at a fraction of the cost it would cost to hire a full-time designer? So that was kind of where we started. But then we kind of ventured out into, you know, social media and, you know, how is it that we can support and empower other church creatives that are, you know, having a hard time, like, man, I'm doing this by myself. And, you know, so we've kind of come full circle in how we serve the church, but we also have different avenues that we can serve and edify and empower the creative church community. And so under the strategy branch, we have two different options that we have, and it's called one option is the Forge. And the Forge is a process that we go through with the church that allows us to help define their DNA. It helps them understand the community and prioritize the goals of that church. And so every church is different in almost every way. And so there's no, like, here's a checklist of what to do, you know. And so we really spend an intentional amount of time trying to figure out who they are, what they want to accomplish, and we kind of help them put them on the right course. And that is a very important and a very exciting part of our company that we get to invest in and help churches, you know, figure out who they are. Another aspect of the strategy branch, I would call it, is the Creative Church Social. over the years, we kind of found out that there, you know, especially in the as technology grows and grows, and people want to be on different platforms and that kind of thing, there's still a sense of I don't know what I'm doing. And so, what Matt and I, kind of along the lines of kind of simplifying the design aspect of it, we kind of wanted to simplify the social media aspect of it. And so, we post, you minister. So we kind of eliminate the hassle of what do I post? When do I post it? How do I do this? And allow them to cultivate their online community that way. And so that's the strategy idea. And that's kind of the fun part as we kind of get to get in on the early stages of some relationships. And then we can kind of like figure out, hey, how does this look like even further? And that kind of leads us into the design aspect of it. So under the design branch, we have the Creative Church team, and that Matt kind of alluded to that earlier with the Creative Church staffing. That part was how we relaunched our company, but it's been a very significant part of our company in the sense that we love to partner with churches. We like to help them out in any capacity we can in regards to whether a retainer makes sense for them or if they just need a T-shirt design. So we offer a wide range of design relationships that, you know, based on what they need, we can kind of fill in those gaps accordingly. We also have Creative Church graphics, and I'm going through a lot. I know I am, but at the end of the day, you know, every church has different needs. And so over the years, we've kind of learned that. And so we offer quite a bit. And so Creative Church graphics, that's basically a one-stop, 101 ready-to-use free graphics. So if you are listening to this and you are not sure what to do and you're sure, not sure who we are or what we're about, go to creativechurch.graphics, download 101 free graphics that you can download and use right away on social media, on Sunday mornings, whatever the case, it's all for you. And so that's been a cool brainchild of ours last year. That's still kind of evolving a little bit, but we're really excited to offer free resources to the church. The other ones are more for the Creative Church community, and that's creativechurch.coach and creativechurch.tip. Those are just kind of opportunities that where people can come to us to kind of get consulting, to get support, and also get information. So we provide a lot of content through creativechurch.tips that, I guess it's, you know, a lot of church communication, design, and tech experts that desire kind of like to share ideas and stuff like that. So it's a really kind of cool platform. But anyways, I know that's a long-winded answer to what you asked, Carl, but in a nutshell, that's kind of the nature of who we are. And at the end of the day, our heart is to serve the church. And we've kind of created a model and a structure that we feel like we can meet a lot of different churches' needs wherever they are on their journey. So.
Cool. All right. So tell me about your team. Where do they come from? What experiences do they bring to the table? You bring people from all over the country kind of together to accomplish different things on your team. Walk me through that.
Right. Yeah, no, quick. This is probably one of the coolest parts about our country, our company, as we kind of extend all over the country. But we have team members from all over. A lot of them are in Texas, New York, Indiana, Georgia, South Carolina, Ohio, California, and they come from all different kind of backgrounds. We have about 15 or so designers, some video editors, some motion designers, all of which, Carl, and I'm telling you, this is one of the cool things, all of which have come to us on their own. Like, they've either heard about us or they stumbled upon us. We have not run any ads on, hey, we need designers or anything like that. Every single one of these people have come to us because of someone. They've heard of us from someone else, or they found us online, and they believe in what we're doing. They want to be a part of our team. And so we have a cool group of team members. All of them are incredibly talented, love serving the church, and love designing. And so we're just very fortunate to have the team that we do, and it helps us achieve what we want to do. So.
Yeah. Okay, I want to steer our conversation to talking about creativity in the church. You guys are the Creative Church Company, so I want to get your thoughts on several random kind of creativity topics, okay? You guys work with churches all over the world and teaching them how to find their DNA and discover their goals and reach people with creativity and in a creative way. So I want to hit you with some random topics here, okay? Here we go. All right, Matt, let's start with you. With helping churches find their DNA, where do you guys start when you're working with a church? How do you help them figure out why they do what they do?
For us, the first step is always a conversation. We're super relational people, and no two conversations really go the same. We kind of have like set parameters on how this process works, but really the individuals and the leadership that we're having this conversation with dictate where this conversation goes, and it looks different every single time. And so the first step is always a conversation for us, and the questions we ask, they help us differentiate between a church's perception and reality. Because what tends to happen a lot of times in the church is they think that what they communicate says one thing, but the thing is that it's heard a completely different way. So we want to try to understand and even show them, you know, what are the differences between what you're perceiving and what's actually going on. And then we start asking questions that help the leadership see any disconnects between the intent that they have and the effect that they're actually having. Because that's another thing that we found is that churches mean to do one thing, but it's either coming across the wrong way, or it's not as effective as it could be, or it's just perceived in a way that they weren't expecting. And so we want to try to, again, help them see what disconnects there could be between intent and the effect that they're actually having.
Once
all that's done, go ahead.
I was going to ask you if you had examples of that, maybe questions that you've asked a church, or kind of walk me through a sample situation, maybe.
Okay. So it normally starts with this. We're trying to create, because this Forge process is typically like a two-day workshop that we spend with this church. And the kind of the first step that everything gets birthed out of is we try to develop kind of like a core brand statement that just helps them define really quick, both internally and externally, this is who we are. This is how we want people to feel when they hear about us or speak about us. This is how we want people to feel after they interact with us. Basic secular branding type things, but we're applying it to the church. And so it's in those conversations that we just try to help them define those things both internally for themselves, and then we try to then help them be able to communicate the internal values in a way that makes sense to the external. Because like I said, you know, what happens a lot of times is the church is fairly guilty of this, and generally is we use words that make sense to us as a church. We use descriptors and different things that make sense to those that are on the inside. But as soon as you get even just one layer removed from the inside, those words and those phrases start to lose their impact and then begin to have no meaning and no impact. And so we want to help them communicate the impact so that way it actually sticks with the values that they have but makes sense to those who are outside the organization and outside the church. Because then once those things are done, then we can then start to guide them in the process of either redefining or embracing who they are. Because what we found is some churches, they either are operating in a way that's completely outside the way they're wired, or they've just gone a little off center from who they are. And so we want to help them, either redefine or just embrace. Hey, this is who you are. Like, quit fighting it. Like, just enjoy it. Be freed up to do what you naturally are supposed to do, and then just, because it's freeing when you can just do what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it, and you're not trying to fight against natural hardwired tendencies that God has kind of put in our personalities and giftings and stuff. It just makes things a little bit easier when we stop fighting them and we just embrace them and do what we were wired to do.
So what are some of the biggest problems that churches face when trying to figure out who they are, what their mission is, that sort of thing? What kind of problems do you encounter when you start talking with the church?
I think one of the biggest ones is just a lack of intentionality. Too many churches think that hope is a strategy, and it's not. Hope is hope. and I can hope all day long to lose 30 pounds, but if I keep eating tacos, I'm not going to lose that 30 pounds I want. And so that's probably one of the biggest things that I found in just conversations with the churches we serve and just the churches we've helped guide through some processes is there's a lack of intentionality and a lack of strategy, and that hope just isn't one. The other one that I would say is that churches try to be all things and try to do everything. And it's not that a church needs to stay in their lane, but I think the biggest thing is that the church needs to at least identify what their lane is and know when is the appropriate time to return to it. So it's not like, it's not like, your church and your ministry and the people that you have there are specifically geared and wired and resourced to have a huge impact on the homeless community. That does not mean that they don't stray out into, different other needs in the community. It just means that, hey, this is your lane. This is your bread and butter right here. You're going to have some jams you can slap on every now and then, but this is your deal. Like, this is what you guys are and how you guys are and what you're set up to do and the impact you're created to have. Have that. Do those other things, but focus on these things. And if it comes down to a choice between what, the thing they're wired to do and some other thing, we always try to encourage them, do what you were wired to do. There's going to be another church, or God's going to see the need and create another church that needs to fill that need. He puts you here, right now, to fill this specific need, fill it. Those are probably the two biggest things. But quite honestly, like, we do get pushback on that one, because Tristan is like to throw Paul in our face. So he's like, oh, well, he said that he tried to be all things to all men. Yeah, he did. But he always knew what his lane was. He always knew what he came back to. I mean, he's a really educated dude. He knew what he's talking about, and he could be all things to all men. The problem is a lot of churches aren't set up or equipped or led to be all things to all men. They just try to be that, and they end up coming up short. And so what we try to do is we try to help focus them and say, hey, if you try to do everything, you're not going to do anything well. It's like the kind of the old adage for Bulletins is everything's important, then nothing's important. And so we try to focus and refine so that way they can actually have a tangible, measurable impact on the things they're trying to accomplish.
Do you find that every church's DNA is different, or is it like the same kind of DNA, same kind of thing with different flares or flavors, or is everybody, you know what I'm asking? Is every church's DNA different?
Yeah, I think it is. And Chris kind of alluded to it as well, but I definitely think every church is different. There's going to be overlap. There's going to be similarities, from time to time. Every lowercase c church has different leadership, a different set of demographics, a different skill set and resources that are available to them. And they just need to embrace the fact that some churches are meant to be the face and some churches are meant to be the feet. And a foot doesn't make a very good face. And so I think if churches just embrace who they are and what they've been established to be by Christ as the head, then they're going to start living on a kingdom mindset instead of a retention mindset. How do we retain visitors? How do we grow? How do we do these things? Instead, they're going to be able to look outside of their walls and say, how do we actually influence the community for the kingdom? I think they're all different. It's just helping them see where the differences are at, but also helping them. I think the biggest thing is just understanding. Understanding who you are. If you can understand who you are, you know what you're good at, you know what you suck at. And if you know those two things, you're going to know, okay, I need to not spend my time on doing the things that I'm not good at. I need to spend my time on the things that, I am passionate about this. I am good at this. I just need to go for this. Because then you're going to be able to see between other churches that are in your area, perhaps, hey, we're not good at this, but they are. Let's start working together and kind of start having an impact in this specific area, or saying, hey, we're both really good at this. Let's combine our efforts and have a massive impact on this specific issue or need in the community. And so really it just comes down to self-awareness of individual leadership, and then as the organization as a whole, understanding who you are has a huge impact on your effectiveness in the community.
Chris, what about community? How can I understand, if I'm a church, how can I understand who's coming and who's not coming to my church? You guys really focus on the community aspect at times. How do you coach churches in that area?
So this is a very simple question. I think this can be as simple as walking down the halls of your church, or even just looking out from the pulpit. It's not. I don't think it's an exact science or a magic formula or whatever. I mean, this is. I think deep down, everyone who is a leader of a church can identify who's coming to their church. Now, the problem is, I feel like in a lot of these conversations, is like most of the times these conversations are like, how do I get more people to my church? You know, and so identifying who you are, it's kind of hard to kind of stray away from that. You're a church is located in a certain area. You know, you're going to naturally draw people within that community, depending on how, you know, how big your marketing dollars are. You can definitely get, you know, get the word out further out to kind of get more people to drive in. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it can be as simple as walking down the halls on Sunday morning or looking out from the pulpit to identify who it is that's coming to your church. Especially also these ministry leaders that are in charge of children's ministry or youth ministries or whatever, like they know, you know, the kind of people that come through those doors. I think the conversation always comes from like, how do we get more people, or how do we become more diverse, or, you know, those are typically the extensions of that question, I feel like.
Yeah. And it really comes down to as well as like there's the internal community of the church, and then there's the community, you know, that's larger around it. I think if church members go on the roof of their building or take a couple, you know, a spiraling walk out from their church property, and just kind of observe and pray and ask the Spirit to lead them and break their heart for people, they would begin to see the needs of the community in a way that would surprise them. And that's really what we want to do. So we want to help churches, you know, take care of the people they've got, but prepare for the people that aren't there yet. And to do that, you have to understand who both are. Like, who are they that come to your church? You know, why do they come? What are the things that they struggle with? What kind of a job do they have? How many kids do they have? Are they married? Are they divorced? Are they, you know, where do they go to school? How many hours a week do they work? Are their kids in football? You know, all these different questions of asking, you know, you to really have an impact in someone's life, you have to know who they are, and you have to know where the overlaps are of interest and value and the same things that you guys care about and believe about. You have to know where those overlaps are in order to be able to meet their needs. So if you go into a conversation blind with somebody, you're probably going to have less impact, you know, having just met them and trying to help them out than if you were to, you know, try to help out a friend of 5 years, because you now know that person. And so that's really what it is we want to help them understand, hey, these are the people. And whether it's through like, through demographic studies, of the area, sometimes it could be something, honestly, here's a freebie. Here's what church leaders should do. A couple of people they need to meet with, sheriff or spokesperson, council member of the city, and mayor of the city, if they can. And here's the question that they need to ask is, what is your dream and vision for the city? They need to ask the mayor and the sheriff, what is your dream for the vision and vision for the city? And then follow up question of that is, after they kind of lay their political spiel and maybe some actually good, good tangible nuggets in there, is ask them, what is preventing that from happening? Right then and there is an opportunity for your church to actually do good in the community. What are the things that are preventing the sheriff and councilmen and the leadership, the actual leadership that God has put in place for the city, what is preventing them from executing on the dream and vision for that city? Because it's going to be good. It's not good. No council member or mayor says, I want to run the city in the ground and embezzle millions. That's no one's vision or dream for that city. Maybe not publicly, but it's still. I mean, there's always going to be a good thing. It's going to be probably like reduced crime, but they're going to get really specific if you ask them to. Like, you know, we want to decrease drug use and drug abuse or drug arrest by 10% over the next 5 years. That's a tangible goal. That's something that a church can execute on by offering celebrate recovery classes or some other type of thing that can meet on the community. And so having those types of things that helps you understand the community, you've got to get beyond your four walls. You've got to get with people who actually need the city outside of your small community within the larger community to really understand, here's what's going on around our block, around our city, around our neighborhood that is either hidden or public, but we don't want to accept. And that's going to be the opportunity for a church to really do some good in the city.
That's really good, man. Great, great ideas. And, you know, I think of the churches that are really making the biggest impact. Those are the things that they're doing. They're meeting, you know, with those people and stuff. And so I know that to be very true and very impactful when you meet with those key people in your community. That's good.
And here's the thing I'm going to encourage pastors on, too, is because there's going to be some leaders or some pastors that hear that and say, well, we don't believe the same thing. Here's what I would say. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
The thing that needs to, that churches and leadership need to start realizing is it's not about what you guys believe. It's about what you guys care about that needs to bring you guys together for the good of the city. Belief is a secondary thing right here and now to the good of the city, the needs of the city, the human needs. We're trying to meet human needs for people, just like Jesus did 90% of the time before he met spiritual needs. He always met the human need before they were freed up to then have the spiritual need dealt with. And so that's what we need to do as churches is, hey, don't be concerned if we believe the same things. Be concerned that we care about the same things and then go and do it together.
Yeah, and that'll show them the love that you have, and it will even make them more receptive of your church and even visit and that sort of thing. You know, you have to build that trust and love them in, so to speak. So that's good.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, continuing our go ahead, Chris. You got something there?
No, I was just going to tie it all in about the idea of relationships. I mean, I think we can all on this call agree that the most impact we can have on a person is through relationships. And so that's how we understand needs, how we meet needs, and that's just how we, you know, how we can serve each other better. So that's all. So that was just the key word, relationship.
Yeah, that's so true.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get exclusive content for your team online now at 1230media.com.
Call the shot, Mr. Brand. One last time.
On my mark. Fire.
William, have I not impressed upon you the opportunities that could await you in the Americas?
Charles.
You are the man that I need there.
I'm done.
You mean that?
Yes.
Make sure he's dead.
Driver, your carriage is on fire!
There was a sense of divine justice that an assassin like me should be forced to live a different life.
I'm looking for Benjamin Franklin. You're Mr. Franklin.
Now that depends. Do I owe you money?
Can a man who has made his life a web of lies earn trust again?
It helps that I believe in forgiveness.
Redemption, not revenge. There's only one name with the power to make you new.
I will create a new reputation honorable enough to save me from my past.
In a mask, was he?
Go, all of you, create havoc.
No one will stand in our way.
Neither redemption or love can ever be earned.
Do you favor the king or alternatives yet to be explored?
I will dismantle his plans piece by piece.
How does he know our every move? Are we compromised?
We intend to blow up the entire city.
He is a gentleman. Full of surprises.
Beyond the Mask, now streaming at pureflix.com.
Show notes for this episode are online now at 1230media.com/082, as in episode number 82. Check them out today. They will certainly change your life.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, I welcome the boys back in the house for more. The second part of my interview with my friends Matt and Chris is next week on the show, so don't miss that. David Michael Hyde is our podcast producer. You can find him online at davidmichaelhyde.com. He is the undisputed best audio guy on the planet. And yes, he paid me to say that. Thanks for listening this week. If you would sometime today, go to iTunes and leave a review of the show. We would certainly appreciate that. It helps our ranking in the iTunes database so that more churches can get this content for their teams absolutely free. Simply search for the Church Media Podcast in iTunes. We will rise to the top. And if you would click on that, leave a quick review and rating for us if you would. It's a privilege hanging out with you guys each and every week. Go out there and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
Catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.